All right, welcome back to Coast to Coast. I don't know, a lot of people don't know this, but I'll let you know now. The those high vocals in the background on this track with the Honey Drippers and Robert Plant, that's me. That's me singing the high part in the background. Check out the video. It's called, it's on Coast to Coast AM right there on the homepage. It's called Unsettling Scenes Caught on Tape. And you can check out the complete collection to these strange scenes that unfold and maybe, just maybe, get a glimpse of the paranormal in action. Go check it out right now over at Coast to Coast. This is Friday night. It's Open Lines. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. And in the studio, right in front of me, in the dock, is Steve Murillo. And we're taking your calls next. Stay with us. Welcome back to Coast. We have a full rack of phones here, and I'm going to get to everybody before the end of the night. And in order to do that, I got to jump straight to it. Let's go to Wildcard, Josh in Webster, Texas. Josh, you're up next.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
What's up, Josh?
Hey, so this happened back in 2005. I was sitting in the living room watching TV. It was about 9:30 at night. And I heard something outside, and the living room was in the back of our house. We had a long row of windows, and I was thinking, maybe there's something out there, someone's out there. So I got up to check and see if the door was locked. It was. I looked out, and I just took a look around, and I just had a funny feeling like there was something out there. And since we lived really far out in the country, nothing but woods, we had 5 acres of land, nothing but woods, like behind our house, and, you know, a deck that I could actually walk out onto and just look over all these trees. It was gorgeous, right? But anyways, I just look for a few seconds, and I see this bright white spherical light about a foot long just appeared right on the deck in front of me, maybe, I'd say 4 or 5 feet in front of me from the windows. So we had a couch, so I got up on the couch, and I just started looking at it, and I was curious. I was like, man, what is that? And then maybe, I'd say 30 seconds later, another one just like it appeared right beside it, maybe 2 feet right from the other one.
Was it making any noise?
Not from what I could hear, but I felt there was a strong presence of something or someone out there. Like, I just had a feeling that there was someone out there. And so I looked at both of these lights, and I was just like, man, what is that? It was really, like, confusing, because I've never seen a light so perfect and circular. And it wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like a floodlight or anything like that. I could compare it to, like, what we have today as the LED lights. Something like that, but we didn't really have too many of those around back in 2005.
Right. How long did it last, Josh?
I think it was about a minute and a half total, both of them. I mean, the first one disappeared, and then the second one stayed for about maybe another 10, 20 seconds. But right before it disappeared, though, one of our cats, like, jumped around it. It didn't go through it. It jumped around it, like, trying to escape something. And I thought it was running from someone or something. So I looked to the right to see if there was anybody out there, and I didn't see anybody. But I'm telling you, I had a feeling that there was a presence out there. I don't know what it was, though. You know, I don't want to know what it was. If there was something out there, maybe little people, I don't know. I started to look up, and you could see this light was coming right from the sky. And as soon as I started looking up, the light disappeared. I freaked out, and I ran. Never experienced anything like that. I looked at the time, and I think it was like maybe just like a few minutes had passed, so I knew there wasn't any lapse of time. I mean, I was like 15 at the time. Now I'm 27, so, I remember everything clearly, and I remember there not being any time lapse or anything like that. I didn't hear any noise. The dogs, we had 3 German Shepherds. They didn't bark, nothing like that. I mean, I don't know. It was weird coincidence. I've had several things happen to me since then, actually, and they're really disturbing, actually.
Like what?
Worse than that.
Well, Josh, Steve actually has a question. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay, Josh, so getting back to the light real quick, and then I want to hear about these other things. Tell me a little bit more about that. The lights themselves. Did you have the feeling they were like objects? The light was object itself. I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but did you have did the light seem a little bit unusual?
No, they were out of place.
Were they casting you? Okay, so when you turn a lamp on, right, it casts a light out into the room.
Okay, I can explain that very easily. I already know what you're going to ask me. I was going to say that anyway. Now, you know how if you have a flashlight, right, you shine it on a wall?
Yeah.
And you know how, like, you have, like, the little lines that come out because you have the flashlight
sure.
or, like, whatever kind of bulb that the bulb has to shine through, like, a plastic lens
right.
or, you know, whatever yeah. kind of device
right.
it is. That's
interference.
Light.
It puts
and
out a number.
Like, lines that circle around the light bulb, and then maybe there's, like, five or six different lines, and they all shine at the wall, right?
Right.
This didn't have that. It was perfect. Circular beam, but it didn't look like a beam. It, like, you didn't see the beam. It wasn't, like, what you see in the movies. It wasn't like what you would see like with a flashlight, like a beam of light.
Right, right.
There was no beam in between, like from where it was coming from, just the circular light itself coming straight from like up. And then that's it. That's all there was. Nothing in between, and that's it.
That's what I was getting at. Okay, now let's hear about the rest of it.
Well, I mean, I had an incident back in 2011.
We're running short on time, so you're going to have to make this one quick.
Yeah. Okay, so I had an incident back in 2011, right? I woke up in the middle of the night. I think I woke up. I set up my head for maybe, like, 4 seconds, and I looked, and I saw a being standing in front of me right in the doorway, and I remember it, and I'll never forget it. Short, probably, like, 5 feet tall. Looked like it had like armor, like what you would see, I don't know, Klingon wearing it, you know, from the Star Trek series. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, some kind of uniform, yep.
Yeah, something like that. But it looked like, you know, armor, like kind of like stacked on top of each other, like a suit or something like that. Almost like a reptilian kind of thing, like just standing in the doorway looking at me. I couldn't move. I just like was like, I don't know, frozen. Like, I really wanted to move, and I really wanted to wake up, and I just dozed back asleep, and I woke up the next morning, and I used the restroom. I went number two, and what came out was really, really bright green, super bright green. I took a picture of it, actually.
Oh, okay, all right. Now, and we have some other calls that we need to get to, but I want to thank you for that, Josh, and the thing is, the description about the lights, and the way that is, it's not the silver flying saucers of the old days.
Right.
Right. This is a typical sighting now. Why do you think they go in phases like this?
I don't. I don't have any explanation for that. That's my way of saying that. Why did they appear as large motherships in one decade and then triangular craft in another? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that, Jimmy. It's baffling. You know, this light thing that he was trying to describe, that's kind of how these things that flew over my head were. You know, that light had sort of a substance to it. They seem to have mastered some sort of technology over light that allows it to take form. I don't know how to describe it other than that.
Right, right. Well, it's been going in phases. Let's go to Stuart, wild card in New York. Stuart, you're up next.
Well, thank you, Jimmy, and hello, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
What do you have?
I'm a truck driver, and it was Monday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. I got out of my truck at a company. And I was looking up in the sky, and I saw an orange object. At first, I thought it was a lantern, but it wasn't a lantern. It was flying straight and level, and there was no cloud in the sky. It was a perfect night, and we're close to Buffalo International Airport, and there were planes coming in on approach, and a lot of air traffic going on. And I was looking at this object, and I ran to my truck and grabbed my phone, and I took a picture. I had it on record, my phone, and I was tracing this object. And I was tracking it. I saw an employee outside, and I said to him, hey, come over here and look at this. And so I wouldn't be the only one looking at this, and I needed a witness. So we both looked at it, and we stared at it, and it went across the sky, not going very fast, and it blinked in and out about two or three times, and then we thought, well, that was it. But we followed it a little bit longer, and then it broke out in two pieces, like two objects, two orbs, I guess you would call them, and it fell to the ground and disappeared. I have no explanation at all what it was. And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and we go, what was that? And that's all we could say. And I called radio company in Buffalo, asked if they had any other reports on it, and I finally had the guts or the gumption to call the National Guard base in Niagara Falls, New York. And the guy on the phone there, he sounded about as interested as a wet potato chip.
Well, yeah, that's exactly how it goes. And Stuart, thank you for the phone call. What do you think about that, Steve, when you hear a description like that, breaking apart, yeah, landing on the ground?
Not the first time I've heard or even seen video of UFOs splitting apart, breaking into multiple, you know, objects, and then all flying off in different directions or all together. I don't understand that part of it either. They morph, you know. We've seen that on video. They morph. They change shapes. They go back to solid. You know, it's just bizarre.
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of everything. I haven't seen anything morph. I don't need to see it. Right. Yeah. I don't need it to see it to convince me of anything. You know, I know that something's going on, but I think it might push me a little bit over the edge or closer to it when something like that would actually go down. Let's go out to Baltimore. John, you're up next on Coast to Coast.
Jimmy, Steve, how are you this evening?
Morning. We're doing good, John.
Hey, John.
All right. Okay, quick, here you go. So my sighting was three perfect green triangles. I walked out of my house, just briefly looked up in the sky, and as I looked up, I focused right in on them. They were in V formation, and they, as fast as you can move your head down to look across the sky, that's how fast they went across the sky. So literally the blink of an eye. Wouldn't be able to even record that. So yeah, I mean, bright green, perfect triangles in V formation, straight across the sky.
Wow. John, let me ask you this before I let you go, really quick. Sure. Did you think it was us or them?
Honestly, it looked like it's headed towards Andrews Air Force Base.
Andrew, so you're in D.C.?
Yeah, I was inside of Annapolis at the time. I got a brief theory. I'll tell you what I think this is.
Okay, quickly.
Okay. I think it's either a Sumerian, Egyptian, coming back to replace their DNA. Because they've been out in space so long, maybe their bodies have altered completely. Or it's just something right outside our galaxy.
It's a possibility. And thank you for the call, John. I got to tell you, Steve, I was watching again. I was watching Cosmos, right?
Right.
And one of the things that I want to say this. This is a scientific theory. It's a scientific thing. But it's also what we have been talking about on the fringe for a long time. But we're talking about the seeding of this planet with microbes on meteorites and landing here coming from
panspermia.
Well, that could be part of it, but you know, we're talking about bacteria,
right?
But when we consider something like this and how it happens, that you know, after some mass extinction event, right, goes down, and the planet seems to really recover quickly, not with one species, but tens of thousands of things come back and spring to life.
Sure.
And could it be coming from meteorites? Well, you know, you need to take that one step further. Just possibly the receding comes from DNA in general. The DNA hits and replaces what it needs to replace, and things that are extinct or knocked off, right?
Right.
And the modifications to those said DNA strands that need to be modified may not only be us, you know, different species out there that need to take the next step. And it's a fascinating thing to hear astronomers talk about this and scientists talk about this and physicists talk about this when we've been talking about that very thing, what John just talked about right here. And the Anunnaki and Lloyd Pye referred to this quite extensively over the years. That I think it's an absolute scientific thing that we need to take a look at, that there isn't anything else that fits the equation and answers the question except for that.
Right. How do you explain that fast evolution of man, right? I mean, if you look at the span of the Earth as it exists, you know, what is it, 13 billion years old or whatever it is, right? And then we exist in that very sliver at the end there. Yet we went from whatever, let's say amoeba to us, right? Fairly high functioning. In the blink of an eye, essentially. Right?
Well,
how does that happen? How does that happen by chance?
Well, when you say blink of an eye, it's literally just that. Because when you look at the age of the universe, that's one thing. If you look at Earth being 4.5 billion years old,
you
look at us as humans in the last 150,000 years, or the last 2,000 years, push it a little further, the last 100 years,
sure,
how far we've come along. In the scope of things in the universe, we're talking about the last quarter second, the last little blip of time. That's us,
right?
How did that happen?
Right.
You know, and I don't want to sound too crazy here.
We needed some help. At least that's what some mathematicians will argue, that it's mathematically impossible for us if we went from amoeba crawling out of the primordial soup, right, and started mutating every second till now, we still wouldn't get there, according to some mathematicians.
No, we wouldn't. It would be billions and billions of years.
Right.
It would not be
right.
What it is now.
So what does that tell you?
It's not an accident.
Yeah.
You know, it's not. And for some of the other theorists out there that may lean on evolutionary theory, that is the way that it is, and that's the way that it played out. Now we're talking about DNA being an accident, right? That it's an accident, that there was no help there, that lightning came down, struck a rock, a crystal in a creek,
right,
and had a little speck of something on it, and magically the odds of the crazy
the
numbers
information was encoded
perfectly.
Yeah.
And, you know, all DNA is the same. I get that. All DNA is the same with everything that's out there. It's just little fractions of things that are different.
Right.
But to get that DNA strand with all the instructions of life on it, perfect for us to be an accident, that's where I have to back in and go, there's some kind of intelligence that is involved. And there's no other way to look at it.
I'm with you.
Now, and when we look at 150,000 years ago, we have been always told since we were kids, the missing link. The missing link, the missing link. Well, they know it, and now so do we. And that's why we have Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, taking your calls. It's Friday night. It's open lines, and I've got Steve Murillo right here, and we'll be right back. All right, welcome back. And we still don't have the internet, so I don't have Twitter. So I have to make the announcement now. By the way, you can follow me on Twitter at J Church Radio. But I'll make the announcement now. The bumper music theme tonight were bands that I sang back of vocals for, like the Commodores right there. That's me. You can tell I'm the high parts in the background. Now, if you want, during the week, this is what's really cool. I want to thank Steve Murillo for hanging out tonight and going live in the studio. Very cool. Thank you so much, Steve. And you can go to uparsla.org, everybody, uparsla.org, and follow what Steve does over there. He does great community get-togethers every single month with the best speakers and researchers out there in the paranormal and ufology. And I have seen everybody out there. Who's up next over there? Mike Barra? You got Mike Barra next?
Yep, Mike Barra is coming, and he's going to be talking about NASA's dark missions.
Yeah, he's never done that before. All right. And Fade to Black, my show that I do in between the Coast to Coast stuff here on the weekends, is it's easy to get to. It's live 7 to 10 p.m. right before Coast, Monday through Thursday. So you get 3 hours of my show, 4 hours of Coast. That's 7 hours of solid paranormal every single night of the week. Just click on my name over at Coast to Coast AM, and it'll take you right there, all the information that you need to know. With that, it's open lines. It's Friday. My guest is Steve Murillo. We're going to knock everybody out when we return. Stay right there. Welcome back to Coast. Let's go straight to the phones. First-time caller, Isla in Cedar Rapids. You're up next.
Hi, my name's Ayla.
Okay, Ayla.
Yeah. I want to mention two things, but real quick, I'll tell you what I saw tonight. Well, there's a flood going on here in eastern Iowa, and every time, strange things happen, hurricanes and stuff like that, people report UFOs and everything. And I was outside on my porch tonight with my son, and we always look for stars in the sky moving and stuff like that, and we saw something moving across the sky. And once I pointed it out to my son, it started zigzagging and doing, like, geometric shapes and going in circles, backwards, forwards, for, like, 45 minutes we were watching it.
What did you see, Ayla?
It was kind of like a reddish glowing light, and it kind of looked like it was really high up in the sky. We thought it might have been a satellite at first.
Okay.
It started, once I pointed it out to my son, it started moving back and forth and going from, circles and zigzags. And
it put on a little show for you.
Yeah, and it said that it stayed in this area where above my house for 45 minutes to an hour.
It liked putting on the show for you guys.
Well, yeah, that's exactly
I've
right.
Seen stuff like this for years now. Like I always, my son's always he's 8 years old and he's first saw his first UFO when he was 4 in Tennessee.
Okay, so this happens for you.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
he's always like, why do we always see UFOs, Mom? Why? Why does that always happen? This is normal. Why do you care? And then he's like, it's on YouTube all the time. Why are you so excited about it?
Yeah, that's fascinating. But you said that you thought it might have been a satellite, so it was actually that high.
Yeah, it was really high. Like, it was just a star. It looked like a star at first, but it was moving.
And it was red.
It was red, and it got brighter once it started putting on the little show.
Wow, that's Ayla, thank you for the phone call. And anybody out there in Cedar Rapids, if you've seen anything too as well, give us a call. I would like to know if there were other sightings in that general area. With that, I'm going to go West Coast, Oregon. Mark, you are up next on Coast to Coast.
Hi, Jimmy. Hi, Steve.
How you doing?
I wanted to ask Steve about Bigelow Aerospace and the impact that he feels it had on MUFON and on research at the Skinwalker Ranch. And just an overview of what he thought about how Bigelow Aerospace came into the picture.
Very good question. I think my personal opinion, Mark, is that Bigelow Aerospace purchased the database, basically. They made a deal. I don't know exactly what that deal was, but once that deal was made, MUFON started to operate a little bit less efficiently, a little more politically. So it definitely slowed things down. I don't know what I was not privy to the insides of that deal. So I don't know exactly what was bargained for, how much he paid for it. But I did notice that reports were handled different ways after that. We were encouraged to close our reports quickly. Oftentimes, our reports were closed out for us before we could finish the research. And then as far as Skinwalker Ranch goes, I think that, I think he's definitely after something, and I think he found a place where he thought he could repeat the experiment, so to speak, where things could happen, and then he could see them happen again and take measurements, which was what the NIDS people were all about. Scientists staking out cattle mutilations and things like that, and experiencing all kinds of strange paranormal phenomenon. And by the way, I went out to Skinwalker and I experienced that phenomenon myself. So,
I actually want to ask you about that, Mark. Thank you for the phone call. And
thanks, Mark.
Two great questions. But you have been to Skinwalker. As a matter of fact, you went to Skinwalker and gave us live reports back to the radio show here in L.A. Now, so when you discuss these things, I think it's important for people to realize that you actually go out and do these investigations yourself.
Yep.
Now, what did you see that was strange at Skinwalker?
We didn't really see much that was strange. We staked out the ranch, and we saw one little red light. Could have been a guard on, you know, doing patrol at about 3 in the morning. We had strange things happen to us. We had connected with a kid who was supposed to lead us out to the ranch and show us around the area of Duchesne and all that. And he, you know, he was a young kid. He was about 18. So we got a cell phone number, and I had that programmed into my phone. So at about 3 a.m., we're staking out the ranch up at a little bluff, looking down, and the phone rings, and it's this kid. I pick it up, and it's this, I get this mechanical, staticky voice, weird noises. I put it on speaker. I hand it to Alex. He's trying to, you know, say, he's going, hello, hello. And it's just this weird noise, like, you know, very mechanical, strange.
Right.
And so I figure the kid's trying to spook us, right? So I hang up. I wait a few seconds, maybe 30 seconds, and I dial it back. And the kid picks it up, and he's like, sounds like I'm waking him up. He goes, hello? I go, yeah, did you just try to call us? He goes, no, but I was having a bad dream about you guys. Are you all right? I go, yeah, we're fine. I go, go back to sleep. You know, I figured he's just trying to scare us, and he's lying about being asleep. And so I hung up. And but that phenomenon, that electronic phenomenon, followed me home. So I get home. Now it's, you know, back to work on Monday. I call a gal on a business call. She picks up the line, and we get this Nintendo 8-bit music. Okay, so I'm trying to talk to her. She picks up the phone, and it's Love Me Tender. Love Me Tender in Nintendo 8-bit.
Right.
And I'm going, hello, hello, and I'm calling her name, and she's calling, trying to talk to me. And I figure her answering machine picked up. So I just hung up the phone. I gave it a few seconds, and I called back, and I go, hey, Kathleen, you know, that was really strange answering machine music you got there. She goes, I don't have an answering machine. That wasn't mine.
Well, I remember you telling me that story, but you didn't tell me it was 8-bit Love Me Tender. I mean, that changes things right there.
It's kind of bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And that song has no relevance to me. I mean, you know, I wasn't a big Elvis fan or anything like that. I mean,
It does to me.
How so?
Elvis is an alien. Let's go to Kelly in Fullerton, California. Kelly, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hey, how's it doing, guy?
It's going good, Kelly. What's up?
All right. Hey, just got a quick one. I'm trying to mash it all together. One night I got off of work, did a 14-hour shift, got off at about 3 o'clock, went to my mom's house because I didn't want to go to my girl house. So I end up falling asleep on a couch, stretched out still with my work uniform and the boots. I'm one of those hard sleepers, so, you know, once I go to sleep, you know, morning comes pretty fast. But this particular night, morning, something woke me up. And when I opened up my eyes, I was still laying on my side. And the room was covered with, excuse me, I'm choking up, with tennis ball-like orbs. I mean, hundreds of them. Spinning around the room like the way lights do with a disco ball.
Right.
But here's the kicker, though. There were two huge ones in the center of it, and really nice colored. One was like a purplish pink, and the other one was a bluish green. And so I'm like freaking out, and I'm still laying down, though. Some like telling me, like, you know, like, sit up. So I'm like gradually like trying to sit up. And I'm analyzing the room at the same time. My mom's room light is on. The television is on. And we have like a little young dog in there. He's in a cage. At night, they put him in a cage. And I start looking at the dog. The dog is looking at the same thing that I'm looking at. And so when I sit up, I'm a pretty tall guy. I'm 6'5". So when I sit up, it's probably like a couple feet between me and the big balls, but the orbs are circling around the room, is like going behind my head and everything or whatever. They all, you know, they're not going crazy. Just, you know, they're all in sync with each other. And I'm just staring at the two big ones. And I wanted to stand up, but something in my head was like, you know, don't do it. You know what I mean? Something like, you know, I was afraid that, you know, I'd probably be like one of them dudes in the corner you know, like one of them scary movies. Or
yeah,
whatever.
With a straitjacket. But Kelly, let me jump in really quick because we're right out of time at the end of the show.
Yeah.
Are you saying that, I want to understand if I heard you right, that your dog was watching the orbs that you were staring at, right?
Yeah, he wasn't barking or nothing. He was looking up.
That's amazing. Kelly, I'm going to put you on hold. I want to get your information here. So you just stay right with us, and I'll be in contact after the show. Okay? Stay with us, Kelly. That's an amazing phone call right there.
That's one I've never heard before.
And we're right at the end of the night here, and I just want to get everybody
quick.
In.
It went quick.
I just want to get everybody in.
I know.
Mike, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, really quick. You're up next.
Hey, thanks for letting me on. This goes way back when I was real young. I was having some dreams. These reoccurring dreams went on for years. And what it was I would see these beings that were like protected by light. So I couldn't really see them exactly what they were. They looked fuzzy. It was like they were hiding behind this bright light. And then I'd always have tests. They would put me through. I would have choices to make. And then I'd wake up all exhausted, and this went on for years. And it would always start, and I was start out with this bright light and these beings, and like I was in the transport vehicle, and then it would be these choices that were like on Earth, difficult choices, spooky ones, life and death. It went on for years and years, and then it quit. And then I had a little experience at Mount Rushmore coming back from Wyoming with a friend late at night, back in the days when you could drive up into the area of Mount Rushmore in the parking lot before there was massive security like now. And we had a vehicle, some kind of a craft came over our car and lit up the area extremely bright. Other people noticed it in the area, some of the different people that farm and this and that around the area. We talked to saw the light, and it stopped all our electrical components in our car and everything. And so that passed by. And then this summer, coming again, I saw my birthday was the 26th of June. I'm 61. And the 27th, I saw a series of orbs. I was out on my motorcycle, and they were, like, following me. They were going exactly where I was going. First I saw one, I stopped, it stopped. And they were orangish, bright red orbs, and they looked about the size of the moon to me, of a full moon, and they didn't seem to be that awful high. But one came after another. It ended up being about four of them.
Mike, let me interrupt. If I may, let me interrupt you and just ask you a quick question because we're running out of time here. Here's the question. What do you think this all means to you? In like one or two sentences, what is it? What's the point of all this? What do you think?
I don't know. I feel that I'm an object to something that's going on.
Okay.
Action, mother, something important. The next day, I had a heart attack, a massive heart attack. My heart stopped for 9 minutes. The doctors can't believe I didn't have brain damage. They had to use the paddles. They had to CPR me, and my heart is perfectly clean and clear. I'm going through rehab still.
Wow.
I have six more rehabs.
Yeah, it's good news on the repair. That's good.
And when I had the heart attack, I saw those beings hiding behind that light again.
Well, Mike, thank you for the phone call, by the way. And I find it fascinating to have this reoccur and reoccur and reoccur with him constantly. I'm going to try to squeeze in. This guy's been on hold for quite a long time. So I'm Richard, really quick, out of respect, I'm going to get you in, but really quick, we're at the end of the show. You've been holding for a long time.
Okay. Thank you. Awesome show, guys. This happened in the late 70s. We lived on a farm in southeastern Arizona, and this might tie in with the Travis Walton situation. We saw this big, huge triangle out in the night sky. We didn't have a phone, so we had to walk over to a little gas station with a payphone in the back. And while my mom was making her phone call, you know, we were skipping rocks on the ground and whatnot. One of my brothers yelled up, and what's that up there? And we're like, oh, my goodness, there's a big triangle up there, you know. We never we'd heard about UFOs but never seen one, and we're just there like, wow, you know. And then the thing was huge, probably 3-4 football lengths, I'm guessing, you know, the thing was gigantic. And we could make it out in the night sky. There was no moon that I could remember because I was still small, probably, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years old. And then out of the back, red orb, just perfectly round red orb, just fell out of it, close to the ground, took off to the east. And then a second one fell out, took off to the south. And the third one fell out and took off to the west. And it traveled up north towards, Springerville, Heber area. And I have always wondered if that night was the same night maybe Travis Wallace saw something in that experience when he experienced that.
Yeah.
It was in the late 70s.
Yeah. Well, his was the early 70s. But I think the movie, it was 1975, actually. Richard, thank you for the phone call, and you are our last call tonight here on Coast, man. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Richard.
Be safe. Now, Steve, I just want to say, first off, you wrote it to the end here tonight. How was your experience here tonight?
I loved it, man. It was awesome. Thank you for bringing me.
Pretty amazing crew. Thank you for everything, Steve.
It was great. Thank
now,
you.
I've got a few seconds, so you have just a few seconds. When you hear these kind of calls, you have an audience that you speak to once a month with you, Pars. You're contacted all the time, but now you've heard phone calls from all across the United States today. What do you think is going on, really?
Definitely something has been going on, I would say, all the way back into our ancient past. But it's something to do with our consciousness, and oftentimes there's physical interaction, so I can't say it's just consciousness. It's hard to say, Jim, and we're still looking for the answers.
Steve, you are the absolute very best. You can just go to uparsla.org. This has been Coast to Coast. Listen, I have to thank Steve Murillo. Got to thank Dan. I got to thank Donna. I got to thank Chris, Lisa, Stephanie, George, and Tom. I'm going to be here tomorrow night. My guests are Ben Hansen and Caroline Corey. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. You can follow me right now on Twitter, at JChurchRadio, even though I've got no internet. I'll see you guys tomorrow night. Everybody be safe. Go Beckley Tepe.